I'm doing today's voicemail on video, and it should be obvious why in a moment. So here goes. This is difficult.
Thank you for calling Dorothy J with D-System South. I'm so sorry that I missed your call, but if you'd leave your name and number, I would love to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Wow. I expected to get mailbox is full. I'm shocked. I really am shocked. Hi, this is the automatically deleted husband, and I'm recording this voicemail like I did for the thousandth voicemail on video. It's not going, it's just going to go to the family site, but I'm doing it this way because obviously things are tense might be the appropriate word. So I want to make sure that a lot of things are understood. One, I'm in love with my wife. There's no hesitation on that. I am in love with my wife. I did the Marriage Define and Commitment Beyond video years ago in order to make that clear, very public. And like I say, it's number two, number three in my most popular videos on BitChute with over 500 views. And because not only is it showing my commitment to my wife, but it shows my kids. I have kids. Do you know what it's like to go for over 8 years and essentially not see any of your kids? I've seen Julia. I did see Tirza. I saw Jack. But none of them in years. I never met a grandchild. You know what that does to a man? Love isn't being shown to me, obviously. But something happened today. Obviously, as I stated, I'm kind of putting a little more pressure on. And the way I'm doing that is I went and found out where my wife lives. In order to because a year ago, as a birthday gift, I sent George a tie to the P.O. box, and it came back unclaimed. So I sent him the very same tie 1 year later to the Seven Oaks address. The question is, did he ever get it? I have no idea. So, it was sent again. He should have had it for a long time. Obviously, the voicemail is going to go a bit long because there are a number of things I need to inform you about. This is again on video, so it'll be on the website, and the audio will be as normal via email. So what happened to the tie? Did George get the tie? It was sent to the address. Did he get the tie? I have no idea. Because remember, over a year ago, he sent me an email. And I responded, as I pointed out, some 30-some times or more. In video form. I did a whole bunch of emails to him also. I haven't heard a thing. Does George know? And what's it going to be like when George finds out? What it will be like to my other kids when they find out the isolation that was done to their dad? What will they think? Will they say, oh, well, these people were following Christ. They were showing love. No, they're not. They are simply not. They're not showing love, and they're definitely not following Christ. You know, I sent out, it turned out to be a 70-some minute video to George for his birthday. I wonder if he saw it. There were several sections in there with very deep theology. Can anyone take me on any of that and correct me where I'm wrong? See, one of the things I think is vital, if anyone says I'm a follower of Christ and says what I say is wrong in where I stand on any point of Scripture, and is unwilling to challenge me, you are unloving. You're not being obedient to Christ. Or is it because I point out the truth and it condemns you? Condemns you is a strong word, isn't it? I have taken, you know, in a lot of things, I've tried to, you know, especially to start conversations, I've tried to come up with short statements. You know, I do constantly use the idea the institution is not your friend, things of that nature, because there is no institution that is your ally. Institutions are like a hammer, a tool, a screwdriver, a pair of pliers. They're just a tool. And they're tools, they're not things that you can use to love. Love happens by a person. The institution has to protect the institution in order to maintain its power, its prestige, so forth. That includes the institutional church. I can go through the history about the institutional church, why it's set up as a fraud. Because one of the lines I continue to use is the Bible is true and the institutional church is a fraud. And I'm striving to find people to take me on in that. I've found another pastor and challenged him right away. Why? Because if you were to get challenged on that and engage me publicly, a few have. But if somebody, especially someone's in a paid position, will engage me publicly on that, unless they can show clearly that I'm wrong on that, they're going to lose. Either they're going to find out what they're doing is fraud, or anyone who hears this, some of them may find out, oh, the guy, that pastor, elder, leader, whatever, he's not telling me the truth. Because, and I've gone over it and over again, the Bible's true, the institutional church is a fraud. Take me on that. Honestly, someone come to the table and take me on in my family. Take me on. And of course, the other one, which is vital in this case, is marriage begins with sex and ends with death. I worked on that for years to find out a concise statement to see what the scripture says. And it's not that I said, well, how do I make it work? No, in both these cases, I went to the scripture and said, what does it say? What is the summary statement of the whole scripture relevant to this, these two subjects? And, you know, especially marriage begins with sex and ends with death. You know, you look at the end of 1 Corinthians 6, I forget the verse, where the analogy is using a prostitute is compared with the two will become one flesh. Sex defines marriage. It's blatant right there. But look at the way, especially in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, all the way into Revelation, where we talk about the bride of Christ. And in the Old Testament, you'll see in Isaiah and Jeremiah that the Lord is the husband to his elect. It's that mirror image of the relationship between Christ and his elect, and the husband and the wife, is just profoundly there throughout Scripture. And I've checked every place where there's been challenged. No, it's consistent. It is consistent. It is consistent. People will use the Deuteronomy 24 in order to justify a divorce. No, I'm sorry. It's a twisting of the word. You're doing exactly what the people did who wrote the Talmud. When Christ condemns those who take the commandments of man and make them the doctrines of God or whatever. That's the Talmud. It was oral at the time of Christ. It was written down a couple hundred years later. It's the same thing today. Again, the whole idea of the marriage ceremony. There's no marriage ceremony in Scripture. It's a marriage celebration. The marriage ceremony was at the Council of Trent in the 1500s. And then in the 1600s, chapter 24, if you want to check that. And then in the 1600s, the Book of Common Prayer, which is where we get the words that are typically used in marriage ceremonies. The Book of Common Prayer is not the Bible. And it is something done by man. It's not something done by the Lord. Examine every part of Scripture that deals with the marriage question, and you will find, if you start with the premise of marriage begins with sex and ends with death, works all the way through it. Challenge me on that. Come to the table and point out where I'm wrong, and don't just simply say, oh, he's wrong, and walk away. You are a coward if you do that. You are an unloving coward if you do that. And by the way, Jim Cross, Render Cranes, Chris Bitterman, until you come to the table, you are acting as unloving cowards. But there's grace. That's the important thing. There's grace. I constantly, over and over again, repeatedly and often, use the example of the Apostle Paul calling out the Apostle Peter, because what he did was act like a coward. The Apostle Peter acted like a coward. Paul called him out on it. That's the model I'm trying to follow. And then Peter, later, virtually his last words, calls Paul our beloved brother. You know, I recently used in my attempt to communicate with George the idea of rebuke a wise man becomes wiser still. I think that's NIV translation. I don't remember. That's whatever what I remembered. But anyway, it is a proverb. Are you a wise man or are you a fool? Are you too proud to engage with a man who's trying to reconcile with you? Or are you a follower of Christ? I think the reason that a response came is because I sent the tie and the DVD to George at the Seven Oaks address. Then, probably yesterday, maybe today, another DVD arrived. This would be the Social Security DVD. It arrived at Seven Oaks and at Jerusalem Road. Monday, six more DVDs were put in the mail. But as I came home today, I found out I didn't raise the flag, so they were still in the box. The flag is raised, they'll go up tomorrow. And you'll have the postcard reconciliation video this time, not just the postcards, to the same addresses. Except my wife gets it also. I did the video on that, so I mean, it's there. So, you know, I talk about often about the idea, and in the postcard reconciliation video, I talk about going public as the example in Scripture. It's not something I came up with. Look at the postcard reconciliation video. I make it very clear. If there's no response, you go public according to the Scripture. If I'm wrong on that, show me. Pull up your Bible. Point to the verse. Give me a solid exposition of why I am wrong. Don't just simply crawl in your corner and say, let's gather together and say, he's wrong, and don't listen, don't challenge. You know, I one of the things that really I find so profound is Revelation 21:8. I've pointed to this often also. You know, the last time, basically, this is where you get the second death idea. Who's the first in the list? It's not the murderers, adulterers, liars, homosexuals, whatnot. They're in that list. But it starts with the faithless and the coward. Are you a coward? Are you a coward? Because remember, faith, belief, trust. It's all based on the same Greek word, pistis and pythio, whatever. Same core. If you say, oh, I believe, but you don't show any trust, you don't have actual faith. You know, the devils, the demons believe and shudder. That's James, I think. But then also, you say, oh yes, I'm a follower of Christ, and I'm going to go to the state to protect you from me. Remember, Medevue sent the police to me. They refused to admit it. They refused to dialogue with me. They are cowards. And I'm pursuing them to reconcile that relationship. But I'm going to be like the Apostle Paul, calling out the Apostle Peter, and point out what they're doing is unloving. To turn to the state, as they did, to intimidate me. They had no laws, none of man's laws, to do that. What they did was intimidation. What they did was probably illegal in man's laws. And they turn a cold stone heart to me. And I'm going to pursue reconciliation with them. I'm going to continue to pursue reconciliation with them. And Postcard Reconciliation DVD should arrive at their door by the end of the week. Jim Cross and my wife went to the state to isolate me, my wife's husband, from her. No, I am her husband. According to the Bible, if the state is your God, again, as I say, and I say it for a reason, hold your hand over your heart and say, hail victory. Do a little study of history of 100 years ago. It's exactly what you're doing. Marriage begins with sex and ends with death. There is no marriage ceremony. There is no certificate. There is no vow. None of that in Scripture. And the only way out is death. And to abandon a marriage is sin. And the wife is called to reconcile with her husband. 1 Corinthians 7:11. But I sent out those discs. And I got a response from my wife today. And I sent a personal, she sent it personal to me. I sent a personal response back. I'm not going to share that. However, some of the concepts that was in the email, I will share because I've shared it already. One is the idea of use the P.O. Box. The reason I'm sending to the Seven Oaks address instead of the P.O. Box is because the tie came back. I respected that for years. Try to establish communications over and over and over again, and the response is silence. So in order to prick that bubble, I'm using the Seven Oaks address, and I'm not going to stop. I'm sorry, I'm not going to stop. My wife said that there was a email address set up for her and I to communicate. It's been, I think, 1 year since I got a response from her. It's very sparse. But I'm in love with her. We used to talk all the time. Constantly. And I miss that. But the other, before this gets too long, the other things I think are necessary. Jim Cross needs to come back to the table. He's a senior member of the family. Act like it. Act like someone who's a follower of Christ and knows how to love. What is the fundamental characteristic of a person who says, I follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Love. It's not hard to find. I don't think I have to elaborate on that. Maybe I do. If there's somebody appealing over and over for years for you to reconcile with them, and you turn a cold stone heart to them, and you say, I'm a follower of Christ. 1 John 2, The Lord calls you a liar. Not me. The Lord calls you a liar. Go back to Revelation 21:8. Liars is in that list. I said that, and I'm going to have to make sure that what I say is true. Revelation 21:8. As for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. So, yeah. If you are showing a cold stone heart to me, the Lord calls you a liar. The other thing that I think is so very vital, and I think this is going to have to be more of a forefront item. What happens when my young kids find out? Because, you know, I have to go with the information I have. George sends me an email. I respond. And nothing. Silence. What can I assume? A good thing to assume is that George gets none of the responses. When I send him the tie and it comes back to me, a good thing to assume is that he doesn't know. That's a rational conclusion. I could be wrong, but I have no evidence otherwise. I'm asking for it, but I have no evidence otherwise. I could be wrong. Show me. You know, the evidence that I have that I'm trying to communicate with you, it's not that hard to find. You know, family.kozlowska.org is huge. There are not 10, 15 minutes of videos. There are hours upon hours upon hours upon hours of videos. And as I've pointed out, because it got too long, I don't do that anymore. But as I was doing the voicemail email, it got longer than Erica Lee's book. There's a whole lot of stuff there. What happens when my kids find out? There are two primary concerns in that. One, they grew up, my assumption, involved in the institutional church. And they say, okay, I've been involved in this. People talk about Christ and obedience to Christ and you know, maybe even love and things of that nature. And I've been isolated from my dad for most of my life. You know, for Zadok, almost all his life. And now I find out that these people who were telling me about Christ were challenged and challenged and challenged by Scripture, by their dad, and they didn't respond. They plugged their ears, closed their heart, and smiled. What do they think of the institution? Maybe they'll find out that the institution's a fraud. And that, I would say, is a good thing. But will they find out? Will they come to know if the Bible is true? Will they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, their creator, their sustainer, their redeemer? Or will they say, if this is what it is, I want no part of it. It'd be a rational conclusion. Because if that's what it is, if Christianity is, you got to be in that club. You got to submit to the dictates of the club, the traditions of men. You might have read about that. I did mention that earlier. If that's what it is, it's bogus. It's a lie. But no, Their dad wants to point to them and contend with them, lovingly show them, challenge them. The Bible is true. And I can actually engage you on that. From internal evidence, from external evidence, the internal consistency is phenomenal. It is absolutely phenomenal. The older ones will remember. I've called it for years. It's a love letter from God. And I can explain that far greater. Because I am an elder. Presbyteros. That's me. It wasn't because I was voted into an office. It's because I aged. Because that's what presbyteros means. It is not an office in institutional church. That is a fraud. Take me on. Challenge me. I've set that before you. As I've said repeatedly, search the scripture to see if these things are so. The Berean model. But if you search the scripture and say, let's get together and find people that have like mind and oh, wait a minute. Doesn't the Bible talk about that? Accumulating teachers to fill their passion? Oh, yeah. It's exactly what's happening. It's exactly what's happening. So if this is what my kids see, they're going to do one of two things. They're going to say, no, I don't want any part of that. Or they say, yeah, I'm going to go to that institution. I want, or maybe they'll say, I want to go to a different institution. You might want to check into Allah. Because after all, you know, if you look at the Muslim community, there's a lot of love there. I have friends. I have friends within the Mormon community that show me far more love than basically anyone in the PCA. The problem is, the Muslim community, the Quran is false. The Book of Mormon, Pearl of Grace Price, Doctrines and Covenants, sorry, but it's false. But I have friends who subscribe to that, and they remain friends, because they're human beings created in the image of God. And apparently, according to people like Jim Cross, Randy Keynes, and Chris Bitterman, I'm not a human being created in the image of God. Jim Cross says, well, the Lord calls me to love you, but I don't like you. I'm trying to pursue Jim Cross as my brother, to call him as Peter called Paul, my beloved brother. Because I follow the Bible. I actually do believe. I trust in the Lord, and I'm not a coward. I'm willing to say this. But there's the other thing about what happens when my kids find out. What will they think of Jim Cross? And what will they think about my wife? It concerns me greatly. Because what I have set before them now is a huge, huge volume of information, of evidence that Jim Cross and my wife, unfortunately there's no other word for this that I can think of, they hate me. And my appeal to my kids is, my hope first is that there will be reconciliation. And I can call Jim Cross my beloved brother. And I can look at my wife and see her look back at me in a mutual love that we had before. Then all this stuff becomes a way to see the marvelousness of the grace of the Lord seen in reconciliation. But as I've said repeatedly, if it doesn't happen, I'm asking my kids, especially George, Susanna, Glory Jane, Walter, and Zadok, who I assume are still at home with my wife. Don't hold Jim Cross, or especially my wife, their mom, in any disregard or disrespect. They need your mercy. They need your love. Especially towards my wife, because the argument I gave in the Social Security videos, you know, I was attacked and I will use that term, I was attacked by another man who I will claim is a coward, Chris Bitterman. Because he said, I asked him, what's the problem? And he responded, simply quoted 1 Timothy 5:8. I mean, just a reference. And then later said, do not contact me anymore. That is cold, cruel, and unloving, and I'm trying to reconcile with him too. So I can look at him and he would look at me as beloved brothers. 1 Timothy 5:8. He misused it then. I contended at that point. But now even more. Because provides for the needs, the provide, pronoio in the Greek, to think of beforehand. Look at it in the context. It is not to provide today's meal. That's not the context. It is to provide for my wife when I'm dead. That's the context. Look at the chapter. Check to see if what I say is true. The Lord commands me to plan beforehand to take care of my wife when I'm dead. The way to do that, as I point out, is not an insurance policy. It's not a retirement plan. It's a family. I want to train Eric Lee and Brent and Leo and Jack and Tirza and Julia and Isaac and Charlotte and James and George and Susanna and Glory Jane and Walter and Zadok and anyone else that shows up. One of the things they're called to do, honor your father and mother. Honor your mother. Take care of her when her husband is dead. And I'm her husband. No one else. I am her husband. I pointed out before, my Dorothy Jane Kozlowski is my wife, an adulteress, or dead. Those are the only options in Scripture. And I'm going to pursue her as my wife because I love her. I was going to do something short. I'm getting really bad at this. But I'm going to put this one on DVD too. I've got to. You know, I have pointed out that, you know, I went out and bought a bunch of, you know, these are the, unlike the padded envelopes, these are the thin, flat things, so I can do this in quantity cheaply. Six, we're supposed to be out Monday, and I goofed, you know, I make mistakes. But the flag is up, and you should see them at your door and at mid of you at Covenant Presbyterian. At Render Keynes' door, at Chris Bitterman's door, at my wife's door, and Jim Cross's door. Those are the six. So I'm telling you now, preempt them. Go to the house and rip them up. Or see in there a man trying to love. I got long. Because I'm not playing at this. I say that many times. One of the things, you know, I've set challenges for myself. And I think the analogy of doing something physical relates to this. You know, because I set physical challenges for me. As I pointed out, I set a challenge to walk the Greenway at a 4-mile-an-hour pace. Now my challenge is to do it at a 5-mile-an-hour pace because I'm at 4.7 already. And, you know, I look at other people who, you know, especially people who can do handle heights because I just marvel at that because I can't. You know, the gentleman we met at Savage Golf and we walked, hiked with him up to Frozen Head. He had a short 10-15 second video that he actually put on YouTube and I got, and because he was standing at near the edge, there's a waterfall in the background, and he kind of slips a bit, and it's kind of like, you know, for me, because, you know, when we were at Savage Golf, and, you know, there's a picture that they use, the brochure, and it's this huge, almost 200 feet, 150, you know, real tall, vertical wall. And we were at the top of that. I didn't get anywhere near it because I can't stand that. I just can't take it. But those who do, I marvel. And I especially marvel at those who say, okay, I have gotten up this high. I need to get higher. I need to do more. I need to challenge myself. I respect those people. I find it marvelous that people who have done these things, because I just can't. But what can I do? I can walk fast. And I needed to do something else. And I'm well into it now, as I've pointed out. My goal, since I turned 65, before I turned 70, is to do 1 million jumping jacks. And, you know, I usually do 120, either 256 or 128 at a time. So I'm already at 640 for the day. Now, I've done more than necessary. I need to keep this up for 5 years. And the objective here is not that I have to get it done, but I'm willing to take on that challenge. It's also a challenge of endurance. 5 years to do this. I set a goal long way out. It takes stamina to do that. You want an example of stamina? Check on me in 5 years. You want another example of stamina? I'm trying to reconcile a family 8.5 years after my wife abandoned me, and I'm still pursuing her because I love her, because I'm trying to be obedient to Christ, because I'm trying to love my kids. And I'm trying to be obedient to Christ. I want that to sink in, please. I'm trying to be obedient to Christ. So I ask, if any of my kids, older ones, please contact me. I want to restore a relationship. Younger ones, please know I am trying to restore the family. And as I pointed out, you know, even to George, if he's emancipated, behind me is an unused bedroom in my 3-bedroom house. The other one's a gas station, you know, I mean, typical 3-bedroom house. Anyway, Susanna, I think, you know, according to the state, since they sent me a letter, may be emancipated soon. And I don't know what she's like. I have no idea who she's like. I'd like to. Is she free to come by? Come by. You know, my wife can come too. Because, you know, I am her husband. Jim Cross could come by too. And we could have a check. Maybe even as brothers. And one last thing that was, because it was said in the email to my wife, or she said to me, because I talked about that I want to arrange to meet my family in Lexington. And said that if I don't make arrangements for that, to one day expect me to knock at the door at Seven Oaks, unannounced. She said she's already contacted an attorney. There's a line that has become popular within a certain group. So much of their premises completely not in agreement whatsoever. They're called anonymous because, you know, their tagline, we don't forgive, we don't forget. No, I'm sorry. I know how to forgive. I forgive because of reconciliation. I've actually gone into that quite detailed. But then the last part of their tagline, expect us. It may be that I'll show up at the door at Seven Oaks one day, but I'll try to find a way where my kids see it and know it. And if you call the police on me to have me arrested, I want my kids to see that. I want kids to see their dad came to see them. Will their mom call the police to have me arrested and taken away for his attempt to love his family. It's a difficult question. All this stuff's in video, it's on DVD, it's on the web, and I'm starting to do a whole lot of copies. I'm doing DVDs because they can be seen offline, privately, especially for the computer illiterate. It's easy. And I plan to make more. I got ridiculously long again. I'm sorry. I'm not going to play at this. This has been too long. You know, the line from Joshua, "Choose this day who you will serve." Because the way I've quoted it before, "As for me," and I stop there. Because you should know the quote, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I plan to serve the Lord. I wonder about my house, my family. I invite you. I understand this video will be a serious ammunition for any one of my kids to look at Jim Cross, my wife, maybe even their siblings, with disgust, maybe even hate. Please don't do that. Please strive with me to reconcile the family. The postcard reconciliation video describes the importance that reconciliation precedes forgiveness. Check it. Check to see if that's true. Examine the scripture to see if these things are so. And if you have enough courage, and if you think I'm wrong, challenge me. Don't just run in the corner and hide. I love my family. I'm trying to show love to Jim Cross and Madge Cross. I've actually sent some stuff to her. I'm trying to show love to my wife. My constant prayer is the Lord will take any of the weight of her sin that he once paid in this life and put it on me. I'll take it all. I love her. I seek only her blessing, and I will not turn from her. I have no desire for retribution, only reconciliation. I love you all.